A few years ago, I came across a picture that read, "You will die before you read every book you've ever encountered." That was the moment my escapist hobby turned into an all-consuming mission, and I'd like to bring you along this obsessive journey. So, every Tuesday, I post a review of the book I read that week. And once a month, I bring on a special guest to talk about books we've read. You're listening to the 15-Minute Book Club. Okay, so we're talking about Flowers for Algernon by Daniel Keyes today. When I first heard of this novel, I was 6 years old. My older brother and my older cousin had read it, and they'd been talking about it, and I just remember hearing about it, and I was too young to read it at the time, but I remember them talking about the premise, and I was immediately hooked and just had it in mind for years. And then when at some point I got old enough, I thought, maybe I should give that a try. So this is a classic science fiction novel set in the 1960s in the United States. It's about a man named Charlie Gordon, who's born with an enzyme deficiency in his brain, so he has a very, very low IQ compared to the average person his age. He's in his 30s. There's a group of scientists that develop a treatment that can increase a person's IQ, and they run this treatment on a mouse named Algernon. And the treatment proves successful over a long period of time, and so they decide to use a human test subject. So they choose Charlie. And Charlie works at a bakery as sort of like a cleaner and also a delivery person. He's seen as the perfect candidate to start with because he goes to a school where he's being taught how to read and write, and he's one of the most motivated students there. And that sense of motivation, that almost desperate sense of motivation that he has to become smarter, it starts to unravel a bit later on, and you realize why he has that. So the entire book is written in the form of progress reports. So in order for the scientists to find out if the treatment is working, they ask Charlie to basically write what is essentially a journal. And when he starts off in the first progress report, there's a lot of realism in the way that the novel is written. And so there's a lot of spelling mistakes and grammar mistakes, and even his thoughts are very simplistic. And then gradually, as the therapy starts to work, his writing improves, his memory improves, he starts to remember things from when he was younger. That's another one of his limitations, is that he has a very poor long-term memory, and he starts to remember things, and you start to see that come across in his progress reports. They become longer. He starts to use complex sentences. He starts to learn how to use punctuation correctly, and his thoughts become a lot more sophisticated. And then at some point, he starts to develop a sense of shame and a sense of like questioning authority. And that is when the scientists realize that it's starting to really work. He starts to become super aware of the fact that people are reading his progress reports. So at some point, the scientist suggests that he hold on to the progress reports for a while, just so that he can forget about the fact that someone is reading them on the other side. What's really interesting about the development of his intelligence is that the more aware he becomes, the less happy he is. One of the things I appreciate about the way that it's written is because it's from his perspective, you get to see how characterization of other characters changes. So people who he viewed as being extremely intelligent, like the scientists that run the treatment, eventually he surpasses their intelligence and he becomes a lot more intelligent than they are. And so you as a reader start to see them in a very different light. Their characterization shifts from these sort of elusive, godlike figures to blithering idiots with a massive ego who actually have no idea what they're doing. Charlie goes on and on in the beginning about his friends at the bakery and how they have a lot of fun together and they're always laughing together. But then eventually, when he starts to develop a better awareness, he realizes that actually they're not laughing with him, they're laughing at him. And you as a reader start to view them very differently. This is crafted in such a sophisticated and technical way in writing. I mean, the writer really does develop characterization in a way that I haven't really seen in a lot of novels. But then again, because of the way that this novel is written, it has the advantage of sort of using his perspective and then developing him and his intelligence and his view and his awareness so that the characters develop with that. And it's just, it happens in such a subtle way that you don't realize it until maybe the novel is over. And that's another indication of like how well written this novel is, that you don't realize it's happening while it's happening. It's very subtle. As his memory improves, he starts to remember things from his childhood, and you start to realize how it's not until Charlie has a sister, a younger sister, when it's almost like the mother realizes that it wasn't her fault that she is able to give birth to a healthy and intelligent child, that she starts to resent Charlie almost as like an indication of her failure. And there's so many heartbreaking stories that he starts to remember. Like, he remembers when he was really young, he was constantly told not to hold his baby sister because his parents were worried that he would hurt her. And then at one point when he was, I can't remember how old he must have been, like 5 years old, his sister's crying in her crib, and he goes to calm her down and soothe her, and he picks her up and tries to shush her because she's crying hysterically and there's no one around, and his mother comes and smacks him and yells at him, and he starts to recall that, and he feels quite heartbroken at the fact that his mother thought that he would even hurt his sister in the first place. And he also remembers an incident from when he was at school. He decides to write a Valentine for a girl in his class, and he asks one of his classmates to help him because he can't read or write at that point. And his classmate ends up writing this really sexualized letter to the girl. The girl's brothers beat Charlie up, and he just starts to remember all of these incidences from his childhood where people were treating him so unfairly. And the more this can of worms is open to him, the more unhappy he becomes. And it's really fascinating because it does raise the question of whether ignorance is bliss or not. And at some point he goes to meet his father. He reads in the paper that his father runs a barber shop, and so he decides to go and meet his father, and he shows up at the door and he has all these expectations that his father will recognize him, but he doesn't. So he says to him, oh, how can I help you? And Charlie says to him, oh, I need a haircut in the whole works because I'm going to meet someone that I haven't seen in a long time. And he just describes this whole encounter where his father is giving him a haircut and shaving his beard, and he has no idea that this is his son. And then there's this moment where he stands at the end and he's supposed to pay him, and he gets really nauseous because he realizes his father has no idea who he is. And he ends up paying him and leaving, and he doesn't introduce himself to his father. He ends up going to meet his mother as well, who at this point seems to have dementia and is fluctuating between reality and the past. And she meets him in the beginning as he is in the present moment, but then she regresses and she thinks that he's a child again. And she starts to speak to him as though he were 7 years old. There's another incident where he goes to a diner and he sees a man cleaning up who clearly has the same enzyme deficiency that Charlie used to have, and he watches how people around him are laughing at him and abusing him, and he has this outburst where he just gets up and tells people to stop making fun of him and says he's a human being, for God's sakes, treat him like he's a human being. And that's a running theme in Charlie's treatment. He starts to see how the scientists talk about him most of the time as though he weren't in the room, or talk about him as though he's an object, that he's not a human being with feelings. And he keeps saying that he just wants people to see him as a human being, and he keeps repeating, I'm a person and I want them to see me as a person. There's a lot of imagery to do with mirrors and windows. It feels a bit like this is symbolically how we view ourselves in the present moment, and how we view our past selves from the perspective of our present selves. And it made me think a lot of how our memories of our past selves, or our memories from our childhood, develop over time, and we start to see things differently, and how we start to reflect on the people that we've known in our lives. I mean, obviously that would be in a very different capacity to what's happening with Charlie. For him, it's probably on a whole other level. If I could be anyone in this universe, it would probably be Algernon. I want to explain why, but I don't know how to do that without spoiling the ending. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I would rather be Algernon. Or maybe on the other hand, I don't know if I want to be Algernon because I don't know how aware Algernon is of... I don't know how to say this without spoiling the ending. Sorry, you're just going to have to read it. Thanks for listening to the 15 Minute Book Club. If you want to be part of the conversation, follow 15 Min Book Club on Instagram. For all the books and materials mentioned in this episode, check the description. And remember, keep reading, because who knows, you might die tomorrow.